You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor, if I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's not good. I'm standing in a window, tunnel, shouting through the wall, and I'd like to get the information. That's my favorite plug, makes noise. There's a ringing in my ear, plug makes noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of the air.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number three. This is Dave Hodges, the host of the Common Sense Show, where we're freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Our thanks go out to Doug Hagman and Stefan for stopping. And in this hour, we have a rather lengthy interview with Bob Kudla. You do not want to miss this. Trust me, this is news that you need. Let's go ahead and roll that, Todd, and I'll be back to close the show out. Hi, everybody. This is Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show, and we're the show that's freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. And on the newsmaker line with me is economist Robert Kudla of Trade Genius, as in Trade Genius Academy, where he shows you how to do what he does and what he does very well. We'll be talking about that tonight as well. Even though the market should be looked at with skepticism, there's still money to be made safely and abundantly. Bob, welcome to the show. We're glad you could join us.
Oh, hey, thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Well, the economy is like a roller coaster. It's so fluid right now. It's so up and down. It's hard to know where to start. But I know there's a lot going on behind the scenes that the average person isn't seeing. So where would you like to start?
Well, I think we could start with what we would call the great rotation is now occurring. So for the past, I would say, well, since probably February of 2016, when the Chinese scared the Dickens out of the Federal Reserve and basically the other central bankers around the world, they've been on a tear where they've been what's called suppressing volatility and they've been buying the FANG stocks. The FANG stocks are what you would know as all the social media darlings, you know, Google, Facebook, Netflix, Apple, Amazon, and they've been bid up every day. And so the market's been suppressed and it's been grinding higher, and they were trying to create this aura of calm and things are getting better. And a lot of it was to, you know, basically pave the way for the Hillary coronation. And then when that didn't happen, the market kept on going. And so the Federal Reserve started throwing rate increases on, and now they got to the point where the dollar, and this will tie into some of the things I know you've been thinking long and hard about, is the economy can't absorb the debt anymore. And so it's starting to screw up the value of the dollar, and so the Federal Reserve has to now start selling some of their assets off, and because the economy can't support the dollar, we're getting a rollover. So the technology stocks that people have been just buying at will are coming out of favor, and what's going into favor are things that are real, like commodities and oil and gold and the miners. And this is going to represent an incredible opportunity for those that are awake, and for those that that have been sitting fat, dumb, and happy are going to start losing a lot of money, because a lot of people are leveraged the wrong way, Dave.
Pretty interesting. And you mentioned all these social media giants. This may not have any influence, but I think it might, and that's why I'm going to ask the question. I've come across credible information, and I heard one news leak about this, and then it's kind of gone away. But Facebook is entering the movie business along with Netflix and Amazon Prime. Have you heard that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're going to go toe-to-toe with these guys, and Facebook has a lot of reach, 2 billion users worldwide.
Two questions. How is it going to affect the movie industry, in your opinion? But more importantly, how is it going to affect the market?
Well, I think the social media guys have, you know, I think Facebook has to make this amount of money for the next 50 years to be worth what they're worth today. So I think no matter what these guys do, they're going into businesses that have lower margins, even though it's going to increase their revenue. You know, Amazon's getting into the grocery business. You know, it may disrupt the grocery marketplace, but it's not going to make Amazon that much more profitable from a margin standpoint. So I think these guys all have peaked. And you know, and we have an analog we can look at in 2000 where the tech stocks in 2000 got way ahead of themselves, and there would be no surprise on my part if we saw all these social media stocks down 40 to 60%. They're bid up that high, Dave. Now, speaking Facebook itself with the movie industry, these guys are disintermediating everybody. So the grocery industry is in big trouble because Amazon's just going to flush out whatever margins are left in this business, and the movie industry is going to get hammered because they're going to lose control over the talent, and people are going to sit there and say to themselves, why am I going through seven layers in Hollywood when I can cut a deal? I can get a producer together, a director together, so I can throw some talent together, and I can whip out a movie at one-tenth the cost of going through a Hollywood studio and all their hands that are out, and make really interesting things for people, and they don't care. You know, I told people a long time ago, about 8 years ago, my wife and another person sat and watched a video on how you can make money writing ebooks for Amazon. And I was very interested in doing that, but no publisher would publish my trading books because, you know, my audience is, you know, what I want to do is very niche-y. And she said, well, write an ebook, honey. And so I said, okay, I will. And so I wrote that ebook. Amazon approved it, okay, because they didn't care. It doesn't cost them any money at all. They approved it. They put it out there. They took the 30% cut, and I paid for my daughter's private education with that ebook. And I think the same thing's going to happen in the movie industry. You know, 10 guys are going to get together. They're going to do a movie that the Hollywood studio says is going to cost you $40 million to make. We're going to take this cut, that cut, this cut. These guys are going to get together and going to say, you know what? We can produce this movie for $1 million. And I don't care if only 2 million people, the whole world, see it, because I'll still make money and Facebook will still make money. And so in a way, it's a beautiful thing for people, you know, because we're getting rid of all the gatekeepers. I call the parasites out there, Dave. You know, that's been choking our economy, these parasites, and the people that sit in the middle of the talent and the customer. And that's the only good thing about those guys. You know, they do a lot of evil too, because they suppress things, but that's going to be good for people that are creative, mm-hmm. are really going to make money, and people that you never knew were talented are going to be able to show their stuff, because it's going to cost Facebook nothing to publish their stuff.
That's true. You're absolutely right about that, because they already have the built-in platform. Do you know, as you were talking, what came to mind, and I had a former Hollywood insider, John Robertson, tell me about this, is that the Walking Dead, the movie, the TV shows, the series about zombies?
Sure.
They said to the rates that Hollywood wanted to charge, no and heck no, and they went to Georgia. And they produced the movie, and I forget what they saved, but Bob, it was something along the lines like they produced it for about a fifth of what they would have had to pay in Hollywood for these TV series. It's incredible.
Yeah, I think, you know, for people like you and I that I, well, at least in our own humble opinion, offer value to other people, we get our voice out there, you know. And you know, like the service that I offer in the Academy. You know, there's no way 10 years ago would I be able to offer the Trade Genius Academy. You know, you just simply couldn't get the reach, and you couldn't reach the people, and you couldn't produce it, you know, inexpensively enough to make it worth anybody's while. But with the digital environment that we're in today and the ability to reach people directly, is that we're all, you, I, are able to offer things of value to people at costs far lower than we would normally be able to charge in order to provide a value to them so that they can do things for themselves as well.
Well, you know, you're reminding me of the early 1980s, and I came across a book. Someone gave it to me. It was Trilaterals Over Washington, and it was The Secret Cabal, that basically is the shadow government. And the book was co-authored by my present friend, Pat Wood. And, you know, Pat's been on my show a number of times. This is well before I knew him. And I read the book and I go, the documentation's flawless. This has got to be true. So this is before the internet. I went everywhere. I went to university libraries. I did all these searches. And I found one article on the Trilateral Commission at that time. And it was Atlantic Monthly. Now, look what I'm doing for a living, Bob. This is the beautiful thing about the electronic age, is you can become your own news agency, and in some cases, if you have the funding, you can become your own movie producers. You can fund your own works like you did with your book that funded your daughter's private education. This is a phenomenal time we live in, but I got bad news. The Canadian Supreme Court just recently ruled that Google has the right to delist any website they don't like.
Well, you know, I think Google's going to have competition on their hands, and I think that's why Google's been playing nice with President Trump, because they're in a precarious position too. And you know, people, there's potential alternatives to Google and YouTube and stuff out there too. So their grip is, you know, now with, you know, Amazon and with Facebook out there competing hard against them, and Vimeo and all these other people. You know, they get delisted all they want. I think they're going to find that other competition's out there, and so I'm not too worried.
Well, that's good to hear, because in the short term, they can do a lot of damage. I know they caused some short-term damage to my friend Mike Adams of Natural News when Google delisted him for about 2 weeks. And Mike went on a warpath with several of us in the independent media. So censorship is always a concern, but I think it's interesting that we're seeing the movie business leaving Hollywood and basically going social media and even beyond that. Now, if the social media stocks decline, that means money is going somewhere else, unless I'm mistaken. Where's the money going to go if it's not going into social media? If the investment capital is going somewhere else in part, what's happening?
Yes, it's going into what I call the hard stocks. So those are you're going to see and oil's already moved up 8%. Natural gas is going to go back up. The miners and the metals are going up. The other commodities have started to move already too, copper and steel. And China is out there now encouraging their citizens to buy the Chinese version of ETFs for hard commodities, because they want their people to have hard. The Chinese are going to go into some really nasty inflation, Dave. And they want their people protected. You know, it's interesting. A communist country spends more time warning their citizens on how to retain wealth. And here we are in a free country, and our bankers are simply trying to steal it. And that's going to cause the commodities to really, really fly. And people are really positioned wrongly. And so those who are warned, and I'm telling your folks right now, is that you need to start shifting your mindset, because these companies are they're grotesquely overvalued, and once money starts to leave, one thing that people don't realize, Dave, is that, because most of your listeners probably don't do this, but there are a lot of people what they're called naked put selling, and they're basically, because the market was created such a calmness by the Federal Reserve, people were selling puts, which a way for them to collect income, you know, because they just assumed the price of the stocks are going to keep rising. And it was a cheap way to make really good return. There's a really nasty downside to this. And like the flash crash in 2011 and 1987, when the market moves down hard, it causes a cascade, because these people will all go broke, because they won't be able to cover the margin calls. And so if the Federal Reserve doesn't get in front of this thing, you know, there's a good chance we'll see a 2011 or a 1987 kind of a flash move, and then I think it'll do some serious damage to the market. So I always tell people, never, ever, ever do that. It's not worth the income. There's other better ways that we could teach you on how to generate income that's much safer. And so that's what we're seeing it going. And we've already did these trades, Dave. So this week we warned people that, hey, at $42 oil, oil's going to $49, and we're already halfway there. and made 8% on the trades for people. Then us leveraged in futures, we made a lot more money. And this week during this transition, a lot of people lost money, but our subscribers and myself personally did extremely well. And I only traded two times this week because I've been traveling. I haven't been home in a couple weeks, and so I've been trading from the road. And so 2 days during travel, I couldn't even trade, and probably had one of my best weeks ever.
That's because you're ahead of the curve. Let's go back to the movie issue for a second here. Do you think because of its reach of over 1 billion subscribers that Facebook will end up being the number one movie producer in the world?
Probably. I mean, I think so. And I know, I think Amazon and Netflix, I think they're going to be the new version of Hollywood for sure.
Yeah, and just speaking as a consumer, some of the better shows to watch are the original productions on, like, TV, TNT. They have some couple of productions that I think are good, and Amazon Prime and Netflix. Pretty interesting. I don't care for Facebook personally, but this may change my mind to some degree because they certainly have the resources to pull this off. Well, wouldn't they be a good investment with regard to stock, or do you still see Facebook as being overvalued?
It's just overvalued. I think people have to separate. They have to separate a good company from a good stock. All the good news is in this already, Dave. All the good news is in all of these already. I mean, some of these companies are approaching $1 trillion in market value. That is higher than all but 19 countries of the world. So there's just no place for them to grow. And so even if they stayed and growed at their current run rates, they can't grow into their price for years. And I think people lost sight of that because all they were doing is – but what's happening, people weren't actually doing it, Dave. They had this thing called passive trading where some hedge funds and algorithms figured out that if they calm the market, these passive ETF or hedge funds have to buy the market. And so they raised the price of these stocks higher than they would normally go if you and I were – doing our homework and checking out valuations and things of that nature. So Facebook might be a great company for you to do business with. It might be a great company for you to consume knowledge and creative arts. But from a stock standpoint, stay away from the fangs. These stocks are going to be down 20 to 40% in the next 12 months for sure.
So let them enjoy their movie-making ability, but don't get involved with their stock market deals. That's what I'm hearing you say.
Absolutely.
Well, that's really good to know. Well, one of the last times you came on, you reported on the next great bubble. And that bubble was the car loan bubble. And we're increasing car loan lengths from four to five years to 7 years. And you said this and other things are going to create a huge bubble that's going to have a spillover effect to the economy. What's going on with that?
It's already happened. So the bubble has burst. And the auto markets are saturated. And so the default rates are through the roof on auto loans and they've now changed their underwriting, but it's too late. So the banks are choking on this debt, the people they sold the stuff to. This is subprime housing 2017 style, Dave. And so as this reverbs through the economy, you know, the auto market is one of our leading high income sectors of the market. And so when this reverbs, it's going to be nasty. And, you know, and there's some people in the industry that I know that I talk to, and basically the dealers just can't move the stuff off the lot. And so it's starting to backlog, but that's not the only one now. But with the Yellen raising rates, housing starts and housing sales have stalled, and now they've rolled over. And now credit card loans are rolling over. So we're creating a 2008 event all over again, Dave, and with the consumer crushed with rent and healthcare costs. So this one's going to be a nasty one for people who are unprepared. And believe it or not, the people that are in the most in debt and have the least income, hey, you know what? They're going to be able to wash their hands of this, and this is going to boomerang back on the banks. The people I'm most worried about are the middle class folk, you know, that have enough income that they can strangle you in bankruptcy court, you know, if you get stuck, and you know, and the elites still don't care. They lose half their wealth, they're still, you know, obscenely rich. So those are the people that I try to speak to and say, look, you need a backup plan. You need to get out of debt. You need to be liquid. You need to be smart, because when this credit starts drying up again, and it will, it's gonna be nasty.
When you say that the middle class can get strangled in bankruptcy court, what do you mean by that?
Well, they passed a law a number of years back that if you make a certain percentage of income over poverty, is that they won't necessarily liquidate your debts. They'll garnish your wages. And make you pay back some of this stuff over time. So a judge can literally enjoin you, make you a debt slave to the credit card companies or whomever, and saying that you have, even if you have no assets, if you have no assets and you have enough income, they could put you on a payment plan. And so if you have assets, you know, even if you have a home, some states will let you take the home, some states will protect the home, and some states will let you only protect a portion of the home. So, you know, people don't really realize that. They think they can just wash their hands clean, but they slipped that in right after the last 2008 event, where they can, you know, now you have people, all these people with student loans that can't get out of their debt, and then you're going to have a whole series of people that won't be able to get out of their debt because they'll tie them up in bankruptcy court and put them on payment plans.
Well, okay, so that's nice. That's an administrative process. What's going to really happen here? When that begins to happen, how do you see this whole scenario unfolding?
Well, what's going to happen, in my humble opinion, is that the dollar is going to start to roll over because it's been overvalued because the other currencies have been basically shorting their currencies, and it's going to start raising the cost of living of things that people need. So you're going to see this inflationary spike that people are going to initially, they're going to try to paint this as a positive, but it's going to choke people. And then we're going to roll over into a deflationary a move like we had in 2008. We're not going to escape the 2001, 2008, 2017 rollover. You know, I say within a year, the Federal Reserve will be scrambling like they've never scrambled before in terms of QE and dropping rates and all kinds of crazy programs in Congress, because there's no margin for error this time.
Well, I think we're beyond the margin of error scenario, but are we going to be forced, are they going to be forced to pay bailouts again?
You know, I think they're going to be afraid to do it. People are too mad, and they saw that we put a stick in the eye in the office of the presidency, that we were able to do that to them. The deep state has an interloper in there, and I think they're going to be afraid to do it, you know. And I think what really, if you notice, Dave, you know, all this crazy talk about Trump and about Republicans and about the alt-right, when that nutcase went ahead and shot those couple of congressmen and the aides, you notice all that stuff got wiped right off the internet. I mean, gone. And I think they realize, like, whoa, you know, we're getting to a point here where people are not afraid to take drastic action. And I think that caught some people's attention. And you know, all that stuff was manufactured anyway, Dave. And so they got to the manufacturer and said, you got to cut this stuff out, because the next time they may succeed, they may not be a Republican they go after. And so I think they're going to be afraid to do it. I think Trump will force some of these banks to go under, and I think that's a big fear of theirs. And so I think this is the end state. I think the Federal Reserve is if they don't get this one right, I think we're going to be in a brave new world.
Well, I'm going to give you one corner of that brave new world, and you're going to be seeing this in the next couple of days on the Common Sense Show website. The Russian I'm chuckling because it's kind of like, no matter how hard the mainstream media tries to suppress a story, the truth will out. Russia Today and some other Russian media, and I know they're the Russians, right? Collusions, fake elections, fake news. But the Russians are reporting that Senator Dick Durbin from Illinois, as well as Senator Bernie Sanders, who's already on an investigation for bank fraud along with his wife Jane, they had contact with Hodgkinson, the congressional assassin at that baseball practice. And here's where this gets legs. This is really interesting. Could you talk about Brave New World? Here we go. The Associated Press is confirming the story. They requested Durbin turn over his emails related to Hodgkinson, and he refused.
Wow.
So when you say Brave New World, Bob, this is where economics meets conspiracy theory, but I think it's conspiracy fact. The Russians are right. The AP is proving it. And it's kind of funny. The deep state can't even stay on the same page with itself. Otherwise, why is the AP reporting this?
Well, I think, you know, what happens is when things start going bad is that they all turn on each other.
Yeah, it's true. So when you say Brave New World, and then what did I tell you before we just came on? Oh, that's right.
The debt.
Yes. Here we go. Another aspect of Brave New World implications. For the world, the debt is 327% more than revenue.
Yeah, it's unpayable. So that's why you're starting to see these currencies start to fall, and that's why, you know, the hard currencies, gold, commodities, miners, even the cryptocurrencies are all going to get bid and have value, because at the end of the day, you know, a stock certificate's worthless, but if you have something that's a store of value that you could trade, that has value. And you have the Chinese telling their citizens, we'd like you to buy more commodities to put in your own personal ETFs, and we'll bring the commodities onto our country, onto our shore, as collateral. That woke me up. I'm like, whoa, I gotta start rolling into some of these commodities. And as soon as we got our buy signals, we started to bid on them. And what was interesting is that everything started to go up for a while. And then this week we got the cracks in technology. And we're talking, Dave, technology's up 400% since the 2009, you know, low. And the GDP is up less than 20% from there. And so it is just grotesquely out of sync.
Yeah, you're paralleling the number that I just quoted with 327%, you know, debt to revenue ratio. And it's, you know, you just got to wonder two things here. When are the Chinese going to sell their people gold? And I would be saying that tongue in cheek, except for the seriousness of the situation. And number two, do you realize we're paying taxes into a black hole?
Oh, of course. Yeah. And wait till Illinois defaults. If you think the Puerto Rican defaults is something, Illinois is right now not paying their bills. And when Illinois goes, I think it's the third largest state, and in terms of population, that's amazing. And you know, those judges, people don't realize that when they take that thing into federal bankruptcy court for a state, you know, the judge can impose taxes on the citizenry to pay that debt back. And can you imagine the pitchforks that are going to come out when a judge says, you know what, everybody will have to, we can confiscate your homes, we can do whatever, we can jack the property taxes up so you could pay the obligation to these debtors. I mean, you know, I don't think it'll come to that, because I think people will literally be swarming into the streets. And so that's what we have. They finally hit the wall. And the thing is, I'm just wondering if the Fed is trying to prick this on purpose to try to put this on Trump. But Trump's been two or three steps ahead of these guys all along. And I don't think the people are going to blame Trump for this. They know kind of where this sits. And so, you know, he won the last five elections. And I'm not a big Trump guy. I just don't like the other people even worse. But the American people aren't seeing it. They're voting for every Trump surrogate that's been elected since he's been elected. And they throw so much stuff at him because I think the people are so sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you start getting, you know, these elite judges trying to impose draconian taxes on people to pay back other rich people's you know, credit to a state that way overspent. It's going to be, these things are going to happen in the next 2 years, Dave.
Let me ask you about the judge's ability to impose the debt upon the people to pay off Illinois' debts to keep them solvent. Two questions come to mind. One, what if a person moves from Illinois, say, to Arizona? Does that debt follow them? And number two, can the judges extend the payment of the debt for Illinois to people outside of Illinois?
They can only really enjoin the assets that are within the state. So if you left the state, but you know, if this, let's say the state was paying you a pension, you know, the judge could tax that pension. If you own a home, the judge can raise your property tax. You know, if you leave the state, you know, they can impose a penalty on you, but they have to have reciprocity for another state, you know, to enforce it. So what you're going to see is people who can bail out will bail out, and it's going to happen. When Orange County defaulted back in 1994, I just moved into the county that year. Our property taxes went up to pay that debt, that bankruptcy. We were imposed a property tax increase surcharge to pay back those creditors, and so. Now you times that by a whole state, and so it's not only possible, it's happened. And if you have assets in that state, you know, you may not be able to get those assets out of there. And, you know, they'll be priced accordingly. If they think property taxes are going to go up, the value of all those homes are going to go down to compensate for that additional cash flow loss.
So that'll create another housing crisis.
You bet. Well, it'll cause a lot of corporations to say, we're out of here. Executives aren't going to come moving into the state if they think they're going to get their income stolen from them.
So massive unemployment because of corporate flight.
Yep.
That'll be one effect. The other thing that I see that will potentially happen what'll happen to the standard of living? And how will that take a hit? I know it's going to take a hit. How will it take a hit's a better question.
Well, I mean, you know, I told people all along is that, you know, you don't want to be inside of a city or a metropolitan area where a certain percentage of the population is totally reliant on government care. You know, if you have assets and they don't, and those assets, those income streams are threatened, they're going to come for your assets. So, you know, the only ironic thing about it is most of the liberal elites live next to these people in need, and they're going to be strip mined. You know, I think it was not Chicago. I don't know if it was Chicago.
Oh my God. Irony can be poetic. I love it.
Yeah, and it's happened. You know, I mean, you know, they had the EBT went down for 24 hours and these folks panicked. And I'm not disparaging these people. These people, you know, we have an obligation to people that do not and cannot care for themselves, but they're totally dependent. They have no other recourse. If they don't get that money deposited in their account, they starve to death. It's not like they can move to a farm and, you know, and take care of themselves. We've made three generations of people dependent on the government by design, and now that's going to end. And I think it's not going to end well for people in these cities. And so people are just simply clueless, Dave. I don't think they see the train that's coming around the corner.
How long do we have?
Well, it's already started. So I think we've crossed over the event horizon. You know, you talking about your 300%+ GDP, it's unpayable. Now that the currency is rolling over, you know, that's not going to come back. And Congress is unable to reach consensus on a plan of attack. So we're going down the ski slope right now. And we're going to be jumping off the high jump here. I say what's already started, within 18 months, we'll be knee-deep into it.
Yeah, that was going to be my question here. I mean, because what I'm wondering, Bob, is at what point do people say, I'm not paying into your system anymore, so I'm not paying taxes. I'm not moving out of my repossessed house, and I've got Smith & Wesson, two friends on my left and right that will help me stay here. At what point does that happen?
Well, you know, there's precedent for that too. You know, during the Great Depression, they started to auction off farms, and And so what happened was, after the first couple months, people figured it out. So what happened is all the neighbors would come to the auctions. And anybody that wasn't a neighbor, they basically were told, you better leave or you may not make it home alive. And so when the sheriff would get up there and they would conduct the auction to foreclose on the property for the bank, only one bidder would show up who was pre-designated, and they'd bid $1 for the whole farm, you know? And then, you know, either the bank said, well, they're not going to do anything about it, or it went to that person. That person turned right around and handed the property back to the farmer who lived there. And I think you'll see some of that. And social media is going to be great at that. You've seen some of these mass, these what do you call those flash crowd things that happen. You're going to see some of that too. All of a sudden, people are going to say, hey, you know what? Let's get over to Dave's house. They're going to try to foreclose his house. And next thing you know it, 300 people show up. The sheriff's not going to get in front of that, you know? And in fact, if the sheriff knows the person, they're going to say, you know what? I'm not going to deal with it. You deal with it, you know? And I think it'll break the whole thing down. And you know, eventually what's going to happen, Dave, is we'll have a debt jubilee, you know?
Well, that's where I was going with this, because I've said for years the only way out of this is debt repudiation. Of course, the bankers who are form the shadow government, so to speak, they're not going to allow that to happen. So what's going to force a debt jubilee to come to fruition?
Just enough people. It's like everything else. You get a tipping point.
I hope you're right.
And once you get the tipping point, then they're too afraid. So,
well, it sounds like people need to learn how to step out of harm's way as this massive tsunami is coming in our direction. So let's talk about trade genius. It sounds like people better make a lot of money and then learn how to get the heck out of the way. I mean, is that a way to look at this, or how do you see it?
Yeah, you know, I'm a very much a planning person, so I think you need to grind it every day. You know, like you're on the radio every day, you're writing articles every day, Dave. It takes that kind of approach, and so that's what we do at Trade Genius Academy, is that, you know, we consider ourselves kind of white hat kind of guys. We want to teach people how to fish, how to trade. There's four or five different ways in which you can go about it, so there's ways that will really fit any person, any stage of their life, any amount of time they can spend trading. And that you get slotted into that, you learn how to trade that, you focus on that, and then you trade that as often as you possibly can, and you can make substantial amounts of money. And what I'm not trying to hear, I'm not trying to tell people, hey, you get rich quick, you can buy the Lambo and all that crazy stuff. What I'm saying here is that, you know what, if you need to make $20,000 more a year, that's $100 a day in the market. We can show you ways in which you can do that, even if you have small accounts. You know, if you need to make $400 a day in the market, we have programs to show you how you can do that too, as well, and real programs that really work. And I send you stuff. I show you what we do trade wise. I show you the broker statements. I show you how we even came about doing it. And that's what we show people. So we have two programs, Dave. One is we have the TradeGeniusAcademy.com that people can learn how to trade. They can buy the training programs, learn how to trade. We have some free videos every night. They can watch what we do every day. We have software that we're selling now that they can load onto their PC that'll actually show them these are the high probability trades, like with an arrow. You should think about buying it here. You should think about selling it here. And when I say think, you know, because, you know, you have to determine your risk tolerances, but these things will make you money most days. And then we have a signal service through tradegenius.co where we show people, hey, you know, we're going to take this trade. And today we put a trade on. I sent you the results that said, hey, they over scared the market. We're going to get some calmness back in. And you know, people made 70% on their money in one day.
Wow.
You know, so
I've
so
seen
we
the data. That's, it's incredible.
Yeah, so we, those things go, and you know, I mean, well, let me just put it in perspective. So you invested $1,000 and some people made $600 today on that $1,000 investment. So we see those things all the time, and you can't watch those. But that's what my job is. I'm watching for those things all the time, and then I push those out, get on the trade, you hop off. We had two trades like that today where people hopped on and hopped off same day. One trade made $200, one trade made $700, and then the futures trades that we did, you know, we made $4,000 on. So, and it was a good day because the market trended. And so we help people with that. So, we think we're trying to do a service here to help people get independent. And that's the big thing. No matter what you're trying to do, we want to be able to provide a service for you so that, number one, if you can feel confident, we can make you a confident trader. You go through the training and you go off on your own, super. If you want to, you know, join the community and stay with us, you know, long term, that's great too. And if you just want to get the software from us and load it yourself and play around with it, can you feel that confident about doing it? We have programs for that too. So we're pretty excited. It's been a tremendous year for us.
Well, let me ask you a question about your, you said you, I think you called it your signal program.
Yes.
So you see a trade opportunity, you have a group of people that subscribe to you, and you send out an alert that, hey, you have this much time to invest in this. We think it's a good deal.
Yeah, so what I do is I'll give you an example and say I'll see something that will hit my algorithm, and I say I think I want to share that with my subscribers. So I'll put a text message out, and I do through Twitter, which, you know, another social media digital, you know, thing that really helps people. And instantly you'll say, hey, buy stock XYZ at this price. Well, I'm buying it. The signal said to buy it. And then it's really up to you if you want to choose to participate in that trade. And then I usually share a sell stop or a target. And we do two or three of those a day. And then we have, option trades that we'll put out there. And then my partner, Phil, runs a thing called the binary option section, which we're having a special on right now, 50% off on that, where if you have really small accounts, you can make bets. Oil's going to go up today. Stock market's going to go down today. Gold's going to go up today. And we have algorithms for that to help people make the trades. And in the last month, I think we're 26-0 on the trades. And you're talking $20 for every $100 invested, and you're out by the end of the day. So, you know, you can do the math on that. You know, 20% a day, 26-0, you know, that's $400 for every $100 you can invest in it. You know, it adds up. And so that's a program that people can trade, that if people have less than $1,000 to trade and need to make some money, we have the binary option room too. And we have a community for that. We have a community for stock trading, and we help each other, and the community helps each other. When people are trying to learn, they're struggling a little bit, they don't understand the concept, the other traders are in there saying, no, this is what we need to do, this is what he means by that. And so everybody helps everybody be successful. A lot of like-minded people, Dave, join our service.
Well, let me ask you a novice question here, okay? You've got the average person who says, well, this sounds really good. This binary option thing seems like it's available to the middle class, to the average person, because you don't have lots of zeros involved. But I wouldn't know where to buy a stock, much less how to sell a stock. What would you tell those people?
Yeah, so what we do is, and for those people that really, really need to start from the beginning, we have the Trade Genius Academy. The first four classes will teach you how to do that. We have three classes on really how to set up a brokerage account and how to set up a Twitter account, how to connect your Twitter account to a text message. All those are free, Dave. So we can get people to the point of getting ready to trade, all free. Just go to our site and go to the education section, and those are free videos. And then once you're ready to trade, if you want to get training, you go to TradeGeniusAcademy.com. You can go through pick the trading course you want, or you can pick them all. It's bundled. Or if you're just ready to start trading, you can go to the binary room, or you can go to the ETF room, or you can buy the software to trade futures.
Someone told me, I'm not even sure how to express this, so you're going to have to help me with the wording, but they said that to do what you do, that the average person would have to have $25,000 in reserve. Is that true or false?
It's true for only a certain segment of trading. So I would say the answer is false. If you trade futures, you don't need $25,000. If you don't day trade equities, you don't need $25,000. You don't need $25,000 to trade binary options, and you don't need $25,000 if you're doing credit spreads for income. the $25,000 rule is there for people that are day trading stocks more than three times during a five-day period of time. Then you need to have $25,000 in your margin account. Yeah, so I would tell people that is not an obstacle for trading. There's many ways about around it. You know, I have accounts that you know, we build up from nothing all the time, and I could trade anything. You just have to be smart about it. And for people that have less than $25,000 and tell us in the chat room, hey, what can I do? We can walk people through how to do that and how to get around some of those restrictions legally.
Yeah, so if you were going to do the binary options, which to me sounds really interesting, you don't need to have $25,000 in reserve.
No, you can start with $200.
Okay, because, you know, the person who wrote to me on this made it sound like it was a universal requirement, and I'm not a broker, but I know enough about it that I didn't think that was correct, and this is why I wanted to ask you. So they were really overstating the issue, weren't they?
Yeah, they were generalizing. So they're factually accurate, but for a very small section of trading.
Understood, yeah. So maybe they're defending their own turf. Who knows?
Oh, it could be.
Well, how do people become a part of Trade Genius? Give people a few options here. I mean, you've talked about some of the programs. Let's nail it down now to where people go, you know what? I need to get ahead of the curve on what's going on with the economy. What can I do?
Yes, so Dave, the first thing you do if you want to just kick the tires is go to the Trade Genius website, and you can go to Trade Genius on YouTube, and then you can – I put out videos nearly every single day. I think I probably put out close to 500 videos so far of just daily recaps. You can understand my thought process, and you can see the trades that we put on. These are charts. I show the charts, so you can kind of understand my mindset around trading. My partner, Phil, puts out a binary option video once, sometimes twice a week. We put out cryptocurrency videos, too, because we're very adept at that landmine area. We can help people make money when a lot of people are losing money there. And then once you get your feet wet on that, then you can actually get a trial subscription, and, you know, for 10 days, cost you like $19. Go in the chat room, ask anybody in there, hey, are we for real? You know, how are these guys? Are they what they say they are? And people tell you. And or you can go and say, you know what, I want to dive right in and get some training. All the coursework sitting in the Trade Genius Academy site. And you can pick and choose, or you can get the whole bundle. And then, you know, I always recommend for folks to get the day trading money machine because, you know, what you pay for it and the return you're going to get on it is a bargain. And, you know, and Dave, you know, for you, we normally have specials running, and, we'll do so again. So, you know, for 10 days after the show will air, is that they can go to our site and use the promo code Make Money, and they get 50% off anything in the store.
Okay, and this show will air hour number 3 of the July 9th show. So from July 9 to July 19, Common Sense Show listeners can go to Trade Genius Academy, take 50% off with the promo code Make Money.
Absolutely, and you're a good friend of the show. We want people to get a good return on their investment with us, and we want to hopefully make lifelong friends and be able to support each other during this crazy time. And as you know, and Dave know, and sometimes you even remind me, because we've been doing this together for a while, is that there's always a bull market somewhere.
Right.
And so even during the Great Depression, many people became extremely wealthy. It's just that you have to kind of know where the hockey puck is going. And we're immersed in this every day, and we're wide-eyed, and we don't drink Kool-Aid here, and we simply want to make money. So, you know, just like we talked about with Facebook, I don't have to like Mark Zuckerberg to be able to appreciate what he's doing with Facebook to be able to, you know, take care of my family. And I think people need to separate their emotions and their feelings, you know, and their ability to take care of their family, because I think a lot of people get caught up in this ought to happen. You know, I know a lot of people who are broke that were playing on this ought to happen or this should happen, and versus what actually happens. And we trade what we see, We don't trade what the news tells us. We don't trade what we think is right. You know, we just use our signals, and we rely on those because they're reliable enough for us.
Yeah, I really like that approach because I know just from a psychological and emotional, spiritual standpoint, when you live your life with vengefulness in your heart, it comes back on you like a boomerang. You're really taking a judo approach. I don't like Zuckerberg one bit. I don't like anything he stands for. I don't like his politics. I don't like the way he runs his business. But it's like judo. We can use his success to our benefit.
You know, absolutely. And, you know, as long as we're operating with integrity and legally, why not? You know, and the tools are out there. And the ironic thing about the whole thing, Dave, is these social media guys, they typically all lean pretty progressive and pretty elite, but they've created mechanisms of their own demise. And so, you know, we could not exist without Google, Netflix, Facebook, Amazon, you know, and Apple. And I use all that technology to feed my family. But at the same time, I don't have to agree with what they stand for. And I think what's going to happen is that those same avenues are going to disintermediate out a lot of the parasites. And you look at it, the left can't lie anymore because the next day somebody will dig up what they said the day before in social media. They relied on a generation to be able to count on people's ability to not remember.
Amen to that.
And social media puts it right out in front of them. What are you talking about? Here, you said this yesterday, you know? And now I think people are seeing that, and so it's putting a control on these folks, and I think that's why they're losing power
exactly.
And control.
Well, Bob, we're out of time, so I want to just mention real quickly here, from July 9th until the 19th, the promo code is Make Money to get 50% off Trade Genius Academy. Bob, thanks so much for joining us. It's always a pleasure.
Hey, thanks, Dave. I really enjoyed it, and I'll hopefully talk to you soon.
Well, we're back live here just for a second, and I just wanted to thank Bob Kudla, Doug Hagman of the Hagman and Hagman Report that airs here every Sunday, or every Monday through Friday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., and of course our first-time guest, Stefan Verstappen, and we really feel we put together a nice show for you tonight. We really kind of went diverse. Hope you enjoyed it. One thing that Bob said that I really resonate with, well, there's a down market, there's an up market. And boy, is that ever, ever true. As I studied people that made money through the Depression, that is really a truism. Anyway, we have Kate Daly joining us next week, along with Joe Hagman. We'll have a bit on the news, and we have an hour to fill, and I've got an invitation out there that I think is probably going to be accepted, but I don't want to create public pressure, but it's going to be a blockbuster show, and we're putting together some really good shows coming up. Anyway, I want all of you to go out and have a great week. Okay, take advantage of the beautiful planet our Lord has given us, and we'll see you back here again next week. God bless.